everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, ElectricDragon505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the title says everything. It's a podcast, and I talk about animation, specifically the latest news that happened this week. And before I begin, like, just listing out what's happening in the news this week, I just want to say that I do apologize that I don't really sound as ecstatic or as enthusiastic as my previous episodes. I just want to say that today I had to do my reviewing duties and I saw Norm of the North. Yeah, the only thing I'm going to say right now before I release my review is that it's bad. Oh, how it's bad. But anyways, for today's episode, we're going to start off with the Oscar nominations for both Best Animated Feature and Best Animated Short, as well as mentioning the Golden Globe winner of Inside Out. Then afterwards, we will look into Sylvain Chomet's brand new movie, The Thousand Mile. Then afterwards, we got Frozen, which will be broadcasting on Disney Channel on Valentine's Day. Then afterwards, Castle in the Sky once again made a giant kerfuffle on Twitter. And then finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, and go search for the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. So, the first thing that we will talk about, it is the big award season, the big one that everybody is paying attention towards. We've got our little appetizers with the Annie Awards and the Golden Globes and the Critics' Choice Awards and all that kind of stuff, but this time, we finally got the big one. We got the nominations for the nominations for the Academy Awards. And for the Animation Podcast, we will be focusing directly for Best Animated Feature and Best Animated Short. And so, the nominees for Best Animated Feature are Anomalisa, The Boy and the World, Inside Out, Shaun the Sheep Movie, and When Marnie Was There. Now, let me just start this off by saying that this is a very fascinatingly interesting choice, I must say. This really caught me off guard that this is a very independent-centered category for animated features. It's really surprising. Technically, a lot of people will say that Anomalisa doesn't necessarily count as an independent film since it is distributed by Paramount. Well, then again, like, how many of you guys have seen it, really? Like, it started out independently going around in festivals, and then suddenly Paramount did pick it up. So technically, it would count as an independent film. So the only mainstream ones that we got here are just Inside Out and Shaun the Sheep Movie. So this is actually really, really interesting. And I think I can safely say that right now that the winner obviously is going to be Inside Out. There's no question about it. And there is one easy indicator is that Inside Out is also nominated for another Oscar, this time for Best Original Screenplay, which is actually really awesome. But the one thing I will say about Inside Out that really did surprise me, like in a more disappointing kind of way, is that I'm surprised that Inside Out didn't get as much nominations as it would. Because when you think back of all the other Pixar films that got nominated, and they obviously won, when it comes to like Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Ratatouille, WALL-E, Up, and Toy Story 3, they were all nominated several times, like 4, 5, 6, or maybe even 7 times. But like, okay, maybe the numbers are not that accurate, but like they got nominated plenty of times. And considering how Inside Out is just so beautiful of a movie and definitely one of Pixar's best films that they've ever done, I'm surprised that they didn't get as much nominations, actually. And like, I remember back then when people were even debating if Inside Out would even be considered one of the best animated features, what I mean is that, like, people were debating if it would even be nominated for Best Picture, which isn't really the case. I'm not really surprised about that, but I'm surprised that it didn't get a lot of nominations. But I will say there are a few, like, Some of them I'm not really surprised that are nominated. Anomalisa, of course, considering that it got a lot of Oscar buzz. Shaun the Sheep movie, of course, it's your staple stop motion film. Well, technically, you can also say that Anomalisa is one, but usually it always happens that either Aardman or Laika will always get nominated for an Oscar. Like, they always reserve their spot, as much as Disney would. But it is interesting to see that two independent films that we got, When Marnie Was There and The Boy and the World, got nominated. Now, I can understand When Marnie Was There. Like, technically, some can argue it's because, for now, it's Studio Ghibli's last animated feature. So, you never know if this would be, like, their grand finale. And The Boy of the World, that actually kind of surprised me. I was expecting other ones like Khalil Gibran's The Prophet to get nominated, but somehow The Boy in the World made it, so I definitely need to go and check that out. Now, the one major surprise that I will say that that didn't get nominated, actually, would be the Peanuts movie. And it's so easy to say that it is Blue Sky Studios' best film that they have made ever since the first Ice Age. But it is pretty shocking that it didn't get nominated. Now, There is a bit of, like, controversy and a bit of fanboy rage that did erupt from this, but not as much as last year when the Lego movie did not get nominated. But honestly, I can understand. I am still happy with the nominees that they got. Call me a hipster if you like, but I am happy that there are movies that, like, nobody really knows about that did get nominated, rather than, like, just movies that we all know, kind of like what the Golden Globes did, just nominate, like, just all the mainstream ones, like the two major ones that I noticed that are not there from the Golden Globe categories are the Peanuts movie and the Good Dinosaur. But I am a little bit it is a little bit of a bummer that the Peanuts movie didn't get nominated, and all, like, plus the fact that Blue Sky never even got a single Oscar nomination for Best Animated Feature since the first Ice Age. So, like, it would have been nice to see that they got, like, they would have gotten, like, you know, back on the saddle, that they really returned with the Peanuts movie. But, you know what? I'm glad that a movie like The Boy in the World, that even though nobody knows about, is finally getting some recognition, rather than a movie that already has some recognition. So, yeah, I would say, in terms of best animated feature, it's easy. Inside Out is going to win. It already won for the Golden Globe, so it's also going to win at the Oscars easily. Now, moving on to best animated short, we got an interesting list right here, and we got a few familiar names. The nominees for best animated short are Bear Story, We Can't Live Without Cosmos, Prologue, Sanjay Super Team, and World of Tomorrow. Now, what I mean by, like, some familiar names, of course, we got Sanjay Super Team in, the animated short that's before The Good Dinosaur, and honestly, I really do love Sanjay Super Team. Like, yeah, like, I've got a lot of people who poke fun at me because I didn't like the design of Sanjay. Like, he looks creepy. Yeah, sure, but honestly, I still really like the short. It's honestly one of Pixar's best shorts that they've ever done. And after seeing that, I wouldn't mind seeing an entire feature film of it. It really is that good. It really is that creative. The story is that amazing. It's really great. But in terms of the other familiar names, we got Don Hertzfeldt's World of Tomorrow, which is really fascinating to see that they got nominated. And Don Hertzfeldt, even though I don't really understand the guy, like, I don't really understand his work and, like, what they mean in a sense. Like, you really got to do your homework when it comes to Don Hertzfeldt. It is interesting. So definitely, like, after I would check out World Tomorrow, I just need to do, I need to do some homework to know. It's like, what the fridge does this mean? But the one thing that I am really happy to see out of all the nominations, and that I would actually love to see win, would be Prologue. This is the animated short that is created by Richard Williams, the master animator behind Who Framed Roger Rabbit and The Thief and the Cobbler. And Prologue is pretty much, as the title says, it's just a prologue for an actual animated feature that he is working on. And it's really cool to see, like, the old maestro coming back and, like, he is back in action at the Oscars, and hopefully I would love to see him win. And this is one animated short that I would love to see. Like, this is definitely one that I'm more anticipated to see, And, you know, honestly, I got to do my homework at this point. As of now, the only things that I have seen are just Sanjay Super Team, Inside Out, and Shaun the Sheep Movie. I got to go and try to do my best if I can find ways to check out Anomalisa, When Marnie Was There, The Boy in the World, and all the other nominees, just to make sure that I could be qualified to know who would be the rightful movie or the rightful short to win. Even though, well, I know for a fact Inside Out is going to win. There's no question there, but we'll see when it comes to best animated shorts. But we will know for sure who will be winning when the Oscars will be presenting on February 28. Now, our next story is going to be regarding another familiar name in animation, but this one is more of an independent filmmaker, and his works are just nothing short of amazing. And I am talking, of course, Sylvain Chomet, an amazing French animator. You might know more his two animated features that he has worked on, The Triplets of Belleville and the 2010 Illusionist. Well, apparently Sylvain Chomet is going to be working on another animated feature, which apparently will be using a lot more dialogue than his other movies, and it will be mixing 2D animation with CG in a way that's never been said, which is what they're saying, and it's called The Thousand Miles. Now, apparently, what The Thousand Miles is going to be about, I'm trying to check if there is a, I was expecting, well, maybe they said the plot here, but the one thing that they promised that they will feature is a lot of the signature styles that make Sylvain Chomet an auteur. There's going to be, like, from what I see, there's going to be a race, kind of like what they did back with the Triplets of Belleville when they got the Tour de France with the weird guy with the giant freaking legs, but is skinny as a freaking toothpick, and, well, as well as a giant nose. And another thing that's going to be very interesting is that he will be giving a tribute to a legendary filmmaker. Now, in The Illusionist, he paid a massive homage to Jacques Tati. But in this one, he is going to be giving tribute to Federico Fellini, which in this article of Variety said, who helped drive European cinema from a post-World War II neorealism towards, in Fellini's case, a fantasy lance narrative exploring a protagonist's inner life. And not only that, it also says that the cast will be promised to have a gala of international A-list actors. So maybe we're going, like, maybe in terms of Americans, we're going to get some familiar names in there, but probably a lot of familiar names in Europe and Asia and all that, in Africa and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I would say that I am massively excited for this. I am a huge fan of Sylvain Chomet's work. Definitely one of the major names out there in terms of independent animators. In the similar veins, just like, well, the Oscar-nominated Don Hertzfeldt and Richard Williams, but also next to Bill Plimpton. It's just, his works are just phenomenal. Once you go and watch something like The Illusionist and Triplets of Belleville, you'll just immediately fall in love. This is a master craftsman. When it comes to animation, the quality of animation that he puts in, it's right up there with Don Bluth and Disney. It is that amazing. And seeing that there's going to be another magnificent work that he'll be doing, maybe it'll be magnificent, or I don't know, maybe it will suck, but seeing that he's going to make another work, I am so excited. I'm pretty ecstatic to know how he's going to do it, and plus the fact that he's going to bring it out in a new way, the fact that it'll be a Fellini tribute, a mixture of CGI and hand-drawn animation, and also how it's going to be a lot more dialogue driven. So this will be a bit of a new path, but yeah, I'm definitely excited to see how Sid Vicious Mei is going to grow. And we will be seeing The Thousand Miles pretty soon, actually, when it will be getting a 2017 release date. Now, our next story. Now, let's just take a little break from, like, the independent films and learning about new movies that we don't know. And let's go back to a bit of the familiar one. And this is, of course, being Frozen. And it says that for the first time, apparently, Frozen will be airing on Disney Channel. Which, I don't know why they didn't do this before, but okay. So, yeah. Apparently, they will be posting... premiering Frozen on Disney Channel on Valentine's Day at 7 p.m. And there actually is a reason. They're not just doing it because, oh, it's Valentine's Day, share your loved ones with the most popular animated feature. No. There actually is a reason for this, and that is to commemorate a special event of what Olaf is doing, because apparently the day after that the Frozen will be premiering on Disney Channel, Olaf will be making a special appearance on the kids show Sophia the First. Now, if you guys don't know what Sophia the First is, this is Disney's children's programming that features like a Disney princess, where they learn about like etiquette and like being a princess and all that kind of stuff. But while Sophia is on her little adventures, she would actually go and meet some familiar Disney characters. There is an entire list that I can go through, but the ones that I initially remember seeing in the news from time to time, she would meet Tiana, she would meet Ariel, she would meet Cinderella, she would meet Merida, and now she's going to meet Olaf. And yes, I will say that Josh Gad will be returning to voice his, to voice Olaf, as he did in the movie. And apparently the episode will be called, or apparently the story, it said, well, the, okay, so it's going to be a part of a four-part story arc. Okay, so, I don't know how that works, but okay. So apparently the second episode of a four-part story arc, and it is called The Secret Library, Olaf, and the Tale of Mrs. Nettle, who is voiced by Megan Mullally. So, yeah, apparently this is a pretty interesting thing. And, it is pretty cute to see that, we're seeing, like, that kids are getting a chance to see more of their favorite characters appearing in TV shows like Sophia the First. Honestly, it is, it really is nice to hear how Disney characters would often pop up from time to time. Like the kid, actually, it's actually really funny to think about, but kids are getting Disney characters appearing on Sophia the First, while adults are getting characters appearing in Once Upon a Time. So like, and it's actually funny when you think about it, because in Once Upon a Time, they actually had Elsa, Sven, Anna, and Kristoff appearing, and then they got Olaf, which he decided to go and move to Sophia the First. That would actually be really hilarious if suddenly Once Upon a Time has an episode of Sophia the First, or suddenly like the characters from Once Upon a Time would appear in Sophia the First. I don't know. Like either one would happen. That would be kind of funny. But yeah. Wow. Yeah, but it actually is really cool. It actually reminds me all the way back into the days of the House of Mouse. I used to watch that. That House of Mouse, that was an awesome, awesome show. It's like the ultimate crossover of all the Disney characters appearing into one. Not just, like, even the freaking obscure ones and, like, theme park characters. Apparently, like, a lot of the Haunted Mansion characters and apparently Figment from Journey into Imagination appeared in there. Like, I really want to know, where did Figment appear in the House of Mouse? I would love to know that. I am a huge Figment fan, so. This is just a little reminder. If you guys want to go and check out Frozen on Valentine's Day and share, like, nice little moments with your loved ones, just remember to go on the Disney Channel on Valentine's Day at 7 p.m., and then the day after, you can go and check out Olaf's fun little adventures with Sophia the First. Now, our next story is a little funny thing that I would like to say that Japan is at it again. And the reason why I say that is that apparently this is a nice, this is a little tradition that they would love doing. Because every year, apparently on TV, they would show Studio Ghibli's Castle in the Sky. Now, back in 2013, apparently there was this insane record that they have done that just literally went insane, that apparently in the, what is said at the 23.23 minute mark, there was a total of Let me just redo that a bit. Okay, so apparently in 2013, there was a total of more than 140,000 tweets per second that has been happening in during a screening of Castle in the Sky. And with that, there was a total of 1.4 million tweets that occurred during the screening of Castle in the Sky. Why? What was it that made Japan completely explode on Twitter by watching Castle in the Sky? Well, let me tell you. Okay, so, like I said, every year, they would show, on TV, they would show Castle in the Sky. And without spoiling anything, because, seriously, if you have not seen Castle in the Sky, please go watch it. It's one of the most pleasant surprises that I've ever seen of an animated feature, and it quickly became one of my favorite Studio Ghibli films. Apparently, they would go, Japanese viewers would all go and say the word "bais." At the moment at the end, when Patsu and Shita would chant a word at the end of the movie. Now, the reason why they would do that? Well, okay, well, you have to go and watch it to see it. Never mind. But apparently, what happened this year, they were, well, not necessarily close, but they were apparently really, really close to get at least, well, somewhere like almost half of the record that it did. So apparently they did the same thing. They said, they tweeted the word bice, balls, B-A-L-S-E. Okay, I said buys for some reason. I don't know. but yeah, if you don't know what buys is, well, if you look it up in French. But anyways, okay, yeah. So they said, they tweeted the word balls, and it made it up to 55,000 tweets per second, only making a total... Yeah, so apparently there was just a total of 345,000 tweets of everybody just tweeting balls. So, honestly, that is a really cool thing that Japan would do, and I would love to see that. Like, I would love to see more. Like, maybe they're actually doing that, and maybe I'm just unaware of it. But like have more animated features, or just what, like every year you would release a movie. And everybody would, like, all join together and they would tweet something related to it. You know, like, I don't know, like, if every year ABC would air Frozen and, like, suddenly the world would explode by tweeting "Let It Go" when Elsa would sing "Let It Go." That's actually a pretty cool thing, I must say. But the fact that it made such a huge record, it's just, like, that's one of the weird, like, it's one of those weird facts that do make movies like Castle in the Sky very interesting. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe you can do it for yourself. Next time you go and watch, you go and watch Castle in the Sky when they reach that end, you could just tweet the word "ballsy." Okay, now before I continue with Matt's pick of the week, I just want to take a little moment and mention how this was a really tough week for many, many people, and the reason why I say that is because, never has there been so many deaths that occurred in just one week, and that it really affected so many people. Like, it really was, it was terrible. And not only that, but there are some that ironically died, or coincidentally actually, in the exact same way. Now, also, like, we'll take a moment to honor and appreciate the moments that we've had with legendary musician David Bowie. I'm sure that a lot of us has a favorite song done by him. And then we also lost Alan Rickman, a legendary actor. We all know, rather it be from Galaxy Quest, Harry Potter, or Die Hard, we will always remember his performance and that signature low baritone voice. Like, it's just unmistakable. And also another one that we lost that just went under the radar is Brian Bedford, a master thespian of stage, but you may know him more as the voice of Disney's Robin Hood. So this is just a handful of the many people that we lost, and they will surely be missed. Now, all right, so with that said and done, let's go back with some happier news with Matt's Pick of the Week. And this is an accomplishment that I just couldn't believe that they managed to succeed in getting. And I am talking about, of course, that the Indiegogo campaign of Dragon's Lair, the movie, has officially been finished. Or at least by the time that I'm recording this, there are only a couple of hours left for the campaign. But yeah, basically, by the time you're listening to this, it's already done, it's over. But yeah, so the Dragon's Lair, the movie campaign, was ridiculously successful. And I really do mean ridiculously successful. And like, as I'm recording this, it just keeps growing by the second. So they pretty much ended up with a total of more than $500,000. And this was pretty much raised by 6,000 people who want to go and help support their work. Now, just to give you guys a little bit of a rundown of a short history of the campaign of Dragon's Lair, the movie, it all started back in early November, or in the beginning of November, when Don Bluth and Gary Goldman has officially come out and say that they want to work on a new movie, which is the long, long awaited Dragon's Lair, the movie, and they needed our help. So they decided to go and get that started, and they started things up in a Kickstarter campaign. And, you know, like, it didn't start out pretty well. I will say that over the 30 days, they didn't really get as much money as they wanted. I think, like, they ended up only getting less than half, and mostly because, like, they realized a lot of the mistakes that they made, including expensive rewards. They're asking for way too much. It didn't really get that much commercial appeal. But then suddenly things changed when they decided to fix things up and try again with the Indiegogo campaign for Dragon's Lair, the movie, and things just immediately went so much better. Plus the fact that they got more publicity with it thanks to Doug Walker's The Nostalgia Critic doing a review of Dragon's Lair, the movie. And it was such a great episode. By the way, if you haven't seen it and you're a fan of, like, Don Bluth and his work of Dragon's Lair, definitely go check it out. It's downright hilarious. And how funny is it that in here, they asked for only half of what they originally asked for, and now they ended up with their original goal, which is actually really funny to see. I never thought I would see the day that they would actually get that $500,000. And I will say that, yes, I made my massive contribution to this as well. But unfortunately, when it comes to the rewards, like, I will have to wait a long time because many of them, well, let's just say that they're not going to be coming out until a while. Some of them, they're not going to be released until, like, the end of this year. Like, some of them, they say estimated delivery will be December 2016. But anyway, so what does this mean, essentially? So, okay, so now that they got the $500,000 that they asked for, what is it that they're going to do? Well, apparently now that, like, they have done stretch goals. So what apparently is going to happen is that they will do their, movie pitch in order to go and, like, show it to distributors, and they will, like, give them $70 million to actually make a Dragon's Lair movie. So it started out with, so what we're going to get is a movie pitch that's going to last a minute and... So, apparently the entire pitch itself will be 5 minutes. And it will actually feature a minute and a half worth of full color animation, and plus the fact that we're going to get there's going to be a lot of new rewards, including downloadable script treatment, a perspective. Don Bluth will be giving everybody a perspective digital lesson, and also and they'll be giving us a bunch of background wallpapers. So this is going to be really interesting, and not to mention that they really did fix up the amount of rewards that will be happening. It's actually really, really cool. So yeah, this is going to be really amazing. It really is fascinating. And the only thing that I could say for now is just congratulations to both Don and Gary for accomplishing such an amazing task, and even like accomplishing your original goal. That's actually pretty crazy. So unfortunately now it is too late to see if you guys want to go and help out. But it is, it's just amazing to see that finally, we're going to get a major chance to see some amazing hand-drawn animation from some of the masters of animation to appear on the big screen, hopefully, like, distributed worldwide and stuff like that. So, this is not only a celebration for the comeback of Don Bluth and Gary Goldman. This could be a celebration for the possible comeback of hand-drawn animation, something that everybody has been asking for a long time. After the entire barrage of computer animation, people are growing sick and tired of it. So hopefully we will see. So hopefully we'll see what Don Bluth and Gary Goldman will do with the money, and hopefully the money will be worth it. So, yeah, again, congratulations, Don and Gary, on your amazingly successful Indiegogo campaign of Dragon's Lair, the movie. And that is all that I've got for this week. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at AnimeF505. If you listen to the podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind going and rate and review this episode? That would be very nice of you. And if you have listened to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Thank you guys so much for listening, and tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all animation. So with that said, see you later, dudes!